coming up on the Gospel Cast.
Like, we're not just servants, we are friends. He tells us that he wants us to know what his Father wants.
Because I feel like in our world, it's like everyone's out to get yours. If you don't get yours, right. You're not going to get anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's not true.
Knowing that even in that season of maybe not as much intimacy or as much like reliance and excitement and eagerness to spend with him, just like resting in him and in his word.
Hey everybody, my name is Clark from Gospel Blast Ministries, and welcome back to the I Am series. And this is the series where we look at the whole Gospel of John, and right now we are in chapter 15, which means episode 15. And I'm here with my two good friends, Josh and Jack. They're pretty new on this podcast, but I know this is going to be a great one. So what John are we talking about, Josh?
So we're talking about John Deere. So I love John Deere because John Deeres are very powerful. They can tow a lot of things, and they can even mow your lawn. No, I'm just kidding. But actually, we're talking about John from the Bible, not John Deere's, not Jimmy John's. What other Johns in the world are there, Jack? Jack, can you think of any other Johns? Long Johns? We're not talking about those.
Ooh.
What's another John?
I'm trying to think of a John.
There's
a guy that goes to my school named John.
Is he cool? I bet he's cool.
He is pretty
cool.
He's
a Chad. Shout out John.
Shout out John. Yeah.
Papa John's.
Papa John.
Not that one. Shout out Hayden. Love you, buddy.
Shout out Hayden. Oh.
Hi, Hayden.
Why y'all?
Why y'all?
Actually, Hayden was actually on episode 4.
Whoa. Yeah, actually, I remember seeing it. Was this at beach camp?
Yeah, it was at beach camp.
Weren't you there for that?
Yeah. Wait.
Were you on the podcast for that?
Mm-mm, no. I wasn't on for that one.
I just saw him walk in. I think he walked in and saw her.
I think I was in the middle of a very competitive dodgeball tournament. And when I mean very competitive, I mean I get there and I play. And I got out immediately, and my feet hurt so bad that I ran and jumped in the ocean.
And he never came back, and so we don't really know who this kid is right here.
Yeah.
But he seems pretty cool. Guys, this is Josh J Squared right here.
All right, let's get
into business.
So I'm looking at this, and chapter 15 actually has 27 verses, which actually can be cut into like three portions. So like each of us could read 9 verses.
Who wants to go first?
Should we go down the line or?
Down the line which way? I'll read. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it would be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love.
Okay, so I forgot to do this before, but if we recap from the previous chapter, like that is when Jesus is being interrupted by Thomas. He's like, so how can we know the way and stuff like that? And Jesus is like, I am preparing a way for you. Like, I'm already doing that. And he's basically talking about heaven, but he's like, the only way to get to heaven is not by anything they're doing. I'm like, it's through me. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is our access, I guess, to heaven. And then he also talks about the promise of the Holy Spirit. Like when he leaves, because the disciples, do you remember, like if we fast forward, the disciples like, what? You're going to leave?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
We just saw you just resurrect, bro. Like,
yeah.
So, and he's like, but he promises this before he even dies. He's like, I'm promising that I'm going to be with you even when I leave, because the Holy Spirit is not, he's not contained in flesh. He can be everywhere. If Jesus was still here on earth, then he would be constrained by time.
Yeah.
Because he's in flesh, right?
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit can be everywhere. Mm-hmm. So he can be he can be, like, the Holy Spirit could be with us right now, and he could be with someone in China. He could be with someone in Africa. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
It's good.
Yeah. So in this chapter, like you just read, we are talking about him being the true vine, which is a lot of people get a little bit confused of, like, what this kind of means. So what do you guys take from this?
Well, I think we're talking about Welch's grape juice. No, I'm just playing. But we're talking about, I think this is really important because a lot of religions,
yeah,
like a lot of religions in the world, they always, like, they think of, like, they usually have, like, prophets, and they think whatever prophets said are true. So they, like, bow a hat at Jesus. They're like, you know, like, we agree with him.
Yeah.
We know he existed. True. Do we believe he's God? No, but do we believe everything he said is true? Some religions say yes, but they also, in those religions, look at other gods or other, like, prophets, and they have a different God. But if you believe everything Jesus said is true, it says here, I am the vine, you are the branches. Okay, so that's important, right?
Yeah.
And it says, where does it go? It says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's saying you have to remain in God. And remaining in God means trusting what he says and believing what he says, right? And everywhere else in the Bible, Jesus says that I am the only way.
Mm.
And so how can those other religions, like, believe everything God said is true? I mean, Jesus said is true, but not believe that part.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? So that, like, a lot of, like, religions, they just, like, kind of throw that verse out.
Right.
But Jesus said that. And if he said it, that means it's true. And if you believe what he said is true, you right. can't believe in anything else or any other God.
Mm.
And I think sometimes we also demonize, it's not demonize, but, like, we're like, look at other religions, we're like, well, that's like, you shouldn't believe in other idols. But we do that too in America.
Right.
Like, your greed, you can be really greedy, and that's a God, but people don't see that as necessarily, like, a bad thing, but it is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, like, yeah. Go ahead, Clark.
I was going to say, like what you were just talking about, because I was just having a discussion, I think a few nights ago, with one of my good friends, Tristan Budd, who
hey yeah, shout out Tristan.
Yeah, Tristan, which he helped start this podcast. But you guys ever have those moments you kind of, like, drift away, like you're not as in the word mm-hmm, and like mm-hmm. as much anymore? Well, he was kind of like, he's starting to get back into it, and he read John 15, and he asked, like, what does abide mean? Like, what does it mean to abide in Jesus?
Jack, any ideas?
Yeah, that's a really great question, and one that I honestly need to ask more often. It says, this is a study Bible, so yeah. for the footnote on verse 4, it says, abide in me means to continue in a daily personal relationship with Jesus, characterized by trust, prayer, and obedience,
yeah,
and joy. For me, a lot of times I see abide, any of y'all go to CBC or are part of the student ministry, hopefully you've been a part of a go group, and one of the passages that, you go over when you're in a group is the John 15 about being or about the vine and the branches, and we kind of talk about just kind of abiding in Jesus and, like, resting in him, and kind of just, like, the difference between resting and working, and I think, like when I think of abide, I'm thinking of almost like, I honestly forget which one it was. Was it Mary or Martha that was sitting at Jesus' feet?
I think it was...
I think Martha was the one doing it.
Yeah, Martha was doing all the things. Yeah.
Just like, okay, then...
Mary was at his...
Just kind of thinking, like, back to that. Just kind of resting in Jesus and, like, knowing that even in that season of maybe not as much intimacy or as much, like, reliance and excitement and eagerness to spend with him, just, like, resting in him and in his word.
That's good.
Yeah, resting with him in his word, yeah.
Do you think as a generation we abide well or not? Not just our generation, but, like, generally.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, yeah, I don't know. I don't think very well. I don't think our society does.
Because I feel like in our world, it's like everyone's out to get yours. If you don't get yours, right. you're not going to get anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's not true, first off. And I think that is, like, a lie to the point where it's not just a lie to, like, because, you know, like, you are supposed to work hard as a Christian.
Right.
Like, there is value in being a hard worker, and, like, the world sees that. But at the same time, you shouldn't strive to just get yours, right?
Yeah.
It's like you're there to, like, love. And obviously, like, if you have a family, you're supposed to provide for them and, like, do all those things. But you're not supposed to just, like, it's some like, in some places, it's very cutthroat. Like,
right.
your workplace. Sometimes it's like you're like just trying to like, you don't care about other people. It's very like, I don't know, it's just not, it's not a very godly way of doing things. And I feel like when you abide, you kind of shift that focus from getting yours to like getting what God wants for you in your life, you know what I mean? So I feel like in our generation, we've been fed a lie where it's like striving is good, but abiding is like better.
Striving's good.
I would say like to that, actually just yesterday I started a book that a friend lent me, called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And basically the whole premise, I only read the introduction, I haven't actually started the book yet, but it's just about how as a generation today, we are so consumed with like knocking off all the things on our to-do list. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm definitely convicted of this where I've had so many things to do that I've put on my own schedule, like not necessarily things that I need to do, or things that push me closer to Jesus. But it leads to kind of like apathy and not being wholehearted in all of it. Not just, I guess just like not treating it as worship. And that leads to just anxiety and like restlessness. Like I find it so much harder to rest, like truly rest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When true. I'm worried about that. So no, I would say I think that that today's society is really bad at abiding.
No, well, that's not good, but just saying like, yeah, I think, because when I looked at the word abide in like just any dictionary, just says to remain or to be kind of, it's kind of like the steadfast idea. So like everything else is drifting away. Like the sand, like Jesus made that parable with the wise man and the foolish man. They built their house.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like that where if we put our house on the sand, we start to drift away because we're not remaining with Christ.
And that happens a lot. I feel like a lot of people, like especially out of high school, like in high school, you're like, you go to church a lot. And then in college, you're just, like, overwhelmed, and you just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, no.
But yeah, you okay, get what I'm Jack. Saying.
All right, so, do you want to read it, actually?
Yeah.
Let's just go like this.
Just 10 through 18?
17.
10 through, okay. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another.
Man, so like he literally goes from like, this is, so you are abiding in me, you're remaining in me, and now let me teach you how to be, I want to teach you that I want to be friends with you, and how you can use that, like, example to be a friend to someone else. So what do you guys take from this?
Being a friend, I mean, it's pretty important. Like, I guess, like, what you said earlier, it's like, when people think of God, they usually think of it, like, direct line down. You know what I mean? Like, God tells you, do this, don't do that. Right. But it's, like, not really personal because, like, you can only gain so much intimacy as, like, someone demanding things out of you. But if you have a friend, that person's there, like, to help you through things, right?
Yeah.
Like, think about, like, your teacher. I know there's amazing teachers out there. Shout out all the teachers. But you have a teacher and then you have like classmates. Like the teacher doesn't necessarily understand the pain of like what you're going through in class, but your classmates do, right? Like if you're trying to learn something, you're having a hard time, like the people around you who are going through the same similar things, like they can understand. And that's why you think about like Jesus, not only was he God, but he came down and was tempted like we were. So he's kind of like that classmate. He knows what it's like. And he was also, I think I was, not to shout out, but to shout out Mere Christianity, pretty good book. I listened to it, the audiobook, sorry guys, just the audiobook, not the real, I mean, I guess it's still the real book, but he was talking about like, if you think about people who say like, well, Jesus doesn't really understand what it's like because he's never fallen into temptation, but being tempted is a lot harder, like, it's a lot worse of a feeling than, like, if you give in, it's like that, you kind of feel like the sense of relief, kind of, in a way, but Jesus was tempted consistently for forever, and he never fell in. Like, imagine that kind of pain, right? Like, he felt the most pain out of temptation because he was tempted so much, and he never gave in. And think about it from the devil's perspective. If he makes one of us sin, I mean, like that's like on his list, it's a good thing. Like, so he can do it. But imagine, like, if you can make God sin, you just you ruined everything, right? And so, like, think about how hard he was being attacked by the devil, and how consistently he was. Because the devil was like, dude, like, that's the prized goat. If you could get him to trip, then you're like, you win. So think about it, like, how heavy his burden is, and how hard it was for him to go through every single day, and not be like, not fall into temptation.
Yeah, a lot of people. I mean, I guess if you're like new to Christianity and you kind of look at the Bible, if you read the Bible, I mean, in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, it does talk about clearly that he was tempted, but. Like you were saying, like, he was tempted. Like, I had a conversation with Tristan Butt about this. Like the temptations. Jesus was tempted throughout all of his life, not just like Luke 4 and Matthew 4 when he's tempted. Like, think about the rich young ruler. When he comes up to Jesus, he's like, good teacher. Like, he could have gave in and said, oh, maybe I am good.
Yeah.
So, and then maybe in the Garden of Gethsemane, maybe he was tempted to sleep, but instead he prayed to his father.
Yeah.
Or he could have been, I mean, I can't imagine the temptation I would feel if you're on the cross, bleeding out, being stabbed. Like,
yeah.
And you could, like, in one snap of the finger, you could have ended it all. And he didn't.
Yeah. Like, imagine that. Yeah, he could have sent down, like, angels to come and rescue him. Like, but he let him.
He endured it.
Yeah, he endured it.
Yeah.
And, like, Psalm 22 says, as we go a little further, when you said that he didn't just bleed, like, it talks about, like, it's kind of like a flowing river. He didn't just bleed. He like poured out. And that was all for us. Like, that should have been us, but he took our place.
Wow. Yeah.
And he was that friend. And that's what he says. He's like, someone lays down his life for his friends. Like, look at this. And then I think this is awesome. I like circled verse 15 because it says, I no longer call you servant because the servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I call you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father are made known to you. He's like, he doesn't call us servants. I mean, we are servants of Christ, but he doesn't want us to look at us as like, he is our master. It's kind of weird because it's just the way that he words it. Like, we're not just servants, we are friends. He tells us that he wants us to know what his Father wants for us. Like, eventually we're gonna get into chapter 17 and you can see, like, I've read this before, but in chapter 17, you can see, this is called the priestly prayer, where it's a prayer from Jesus to his father saying, and there's a part that says, thank you for something about, like, thank you for helping me to give the love that you have for me, and I can spread that to my followers, and I can spread that to everybody.
Yeah. And I feel like the word love is kind of like thrown around a lot nowadays.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's more of an act of will than it is, like, emotion. Because, like, you can, like, love someone, but if you just say it, there's something more, like, kind of, like, depressing when someone says they love you and then, like, they don't follow it up with, like, any action.
Yeah.
Like, you can feel so much love by someone without them saying they love you, but the amount of sacrifices they're able to make.
Yeah.
Love isn't just an emotion. I think it's more of, like, a will. Like, it's, like, sacrificing what you want to do.
True.
No, for the benefit of others. Yeah. And, like, nowadays, people just throw that word around. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean much.
Yeah, because you'll love this, love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, like, on the whole thing with love, we see the most beautiful kind of love is agape love.
Yeah.
It's kind of that brotherly, selfless, sacrificial love. And I just completely agree with what you're saying. Like, I think love with no action is not love.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it means nothing. Like, man, like 1 Corinthians 13, it's all about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, love is if I give my body to be burned, or if I do some kind of cool thing, or if I have gifts that I can present, but I don't show love, then I'm nothing.
Yeah. And also, it's like, it says, like, how do you love God? By keeping his commandments. And that's like an act. Like, if you don't feel like keeping, like, if you feel like you want to keep a commandment or actually keeping the commandment, there's a difference. Like, one's emotion, one's sacrificial.
Yeah, it's like, another example of this is like, if you read Psalm 51, which is probably my favorite psalm, because it's the repentive heart of David when he committed that sin with Bathsheba, but then he goes to the Lord, which is why he's called a man after God's own heart. He's not called a man after God's own heart because he didn't, like, fall all the time. But he was a man after God's own heart because every time he was confronted with sin, he went to the problem. He went to God. And it talks about the very end, like, about these sacrifices that he doesn't want this to just be a sacrifice, because people, what they would do is that they would do this ritual. They'd kind of make it like a ritual over and over again.
Yeah.
They'd make sacrifices, but they just do it for the cause. They don't think about what they're doing, who they're doing it for.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that.
Yeah. Checklist love versus real love.
Yeah.
Checklist love. Like, did I love this person today, or did I, like, right? Yeah, that's good.
Did it cost you something? That's the question. I feel like a lot of times people are like, have you ever talk about, like, the person who is, dude, they have a lot of money and they give away, like, $1 million? So the average Joe, you're like, dang, dude, that person's generous. But are they really, like, did they feel that? Like, you know what I mean? The person who gives out of their poverty, they feel a lot more. Like that one woman who gave, like, the two cents.
Coins.
That costed her a lot.
That was everything she had.
That was everything she had.
Yeah, and Jesus called it, like, more than what the Pharisees gave.
Yeah, because they gave out of their wealth and she gave out of her poverty. And I think that's, like, important too. It's like, do you feel what you give? Like, whenever you give something or whatever you're spending your time on, or, like, when you love someone, are you feeling that, like, pain? Not really the pain, but, like, are you feeling the consequences and what is it costing you?
Yeah. This is kind of a stretch, but one thing that I had heard from someone is, like, if you really want to, like, love God and be closer with him, I guess, it really, that going back to the whole thing of, like, abiding is, like Josh was saying, like, the guy said, suffer for him. Like, and I guess that's kind of, like, what we were talking about. Or, like, be uncomfortable, give more than enough, or more than, like, just to check off that box.
Right.
And that always really stuck with me because, personally, I'm very, like, checklist in my Christianity. I need to be better about that.
And, like, to add, like, I think, like, when you, like, the checklist, like, obviously having, like, a checklist faith or, like, a computerized Christianity where, like, you push a button and you expect God to, like, do something in return, like, obviously it's not a good thing. But there's a difference between being, like, having a checklist faith versus having, like, a steadfast faith.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, like, we could be like, oh, I have a, like, a checklist kind of faith, but you're actually just being very steadfast in the way you do, like, because, like, a lot of times people are like, like, they just feel a lot. But if you wake up in the morning, I think we can all attest, there's been times where you wake up and the last thing you want to do is read your Bible. Like, I do not want, like, sometimes you wake up, you're like, dude, I'm hungry. I would rather eat. Or, like, I'm already late. Like, I got to go do something else. But, like, having that steadfastness of, okay, like, this is the situation I'm in. I don't really want to do this, but I'm going to do it. I think that is, like, sometimes gets marked off as checklist Christianity, but I feel like that's more being steadfast. Like, you're like, I don't want to, but I am. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, and like, also it talks in the Bible where it's like sometimes you have to, like, in your faith, people can just have, like your faith obviously builds up like a tower, but when you're building that tower, you need scaffolding, right? And that is like, okay, like, this is what I'm doing. Like, the Bible never says, like, don't, like, touch your phone before you read your Bible, but that's maybe something you have to do, right, as a person. Or, like, maybe it's like, go to bed by 10 o'clock. Does the Bible say do that? No, but is that something you have to do to maintain the rest of, like, what God asked you to do? Yeah, so you're building that scaffolding, and maybe later down the line you can take it down. But sometimes some of those things you have to keep up to keep your own faith. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
True. Oh, wow.
That was an analogy, bro. That was
awesome. let's bring it on home.
All right, verses 18 to 27. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world will love you as its own. Because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on my account, on the account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I have not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen the hatred of both me and my Father. but the word that I have that is written in the in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But the Helper comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning.
I really hope there are a lot of people who hate me right now.
Yeah, that's a weird. Although that sounds like a weird request, but I think Pastor Ed, like our pastor at our church, gave this analogy. Maybe it was not him, but I remember someone gave this analogy. Maybe it is a Pastor Ed. You can correct me on this, but I heard this before, that like this preacher that went out about, and like the street preacher who preached God's word, but he wasn't getting like this negative response. Mm-hmm. He wasn't being persecuted, and he was actually like, God, what's wrong? Like, so he actually asked God, send me somebody who will hate me, someone who will persecute me. And basically the second he did that, someone persecuted him, and he started preaching, and he just felt this revival that he could preach even though he was being hated. There's something different when it comes to hate in Christianity, which I'll be honest, I'm guilty of like having that thought of hatred towards somebody in my mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all go through it. Even though we're saved by the blood, we're not like perfect. We're still captive by our flesh. Like Paul says, like, I do what I don't want to do. So what do you guys see in this?
I kind of like what Jack said. I hope I'm hated more.
Yeah.
And like, that's important to think about. If you're not being hated, like, what are you doing?
I don't know. I don't want to speak for y'all. And this is coming from someone who went to a private school. I know we have like, since I know you're in homeschool and you went to a big public school, but like I go to a school that does stress like teaching and preaching the gospel, and I'm so thankful for that. That has been such a blessing. But I think just a lot of us and a lot of the circles we're in have not ever really faced much persecution, really. Like when I think of it, like, sure, I've had people who have, like, called me a Jesus freak. Not to my face, I'm sure, but, like just people who are, like, oh, you super saint, whatever. Like, but we have, like, never endured anything comparable to what Jesus has. Not being out of the season. I love the season that I'm in, but being in a season where one day, like, I will be persecuted and I will be hated because, like, I want to be refined. I want my faith and my dependency on the Lord to grow stronger. And in times where like that's, you're not facing much persecution, it kind of goes back to what I was like saying about if you really want to grow closer with the Lord, like suffer for him, endure that hatred. Like I pray that there will be a point in my life where I have to endure that, I guess. I don't know if that's
a bold prayer. You're asking for pain.
It's a lot easier to say next to y'all and on a camera than it is.
Yeah, it definitely is hard because you're like, man, like you're saying, asking for pain, like, and not because a lot of the times we go to our we kneel at our bedside or something like that. And we go, God, help me to be at peace.
Yeah,
help me to like thrive and survive this crazy life, right? But asking for pain and asking for actual like persecution is something that we don't typically pray because I don't know. I think it's just in our flesh. It's just in our human nature to just be like, well, we want the good things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We want the nice things. We want the peaceful things. We want peace. Well, you know, peace and war. Like there's so many things happening and in our mind today and society. And I think we need to ask for more pain, but we want to ask for pain, but we want to ask for
tolerable pain.
Yeah, tolerable pain. I hope I trip over a rock today. Like it's not like that. It's like I hope that, because if the truth really is in us, then basically what Jesus is saying, that the world's gonna hate you. If the world does hate us, that shows that we are on the road to Jesus. to Jesus. Remember what Pastor Ezzy, he's like, I like, you get out of your bed, you step on that foot, and you hope that hell has a target on you. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's yeah. that's crazy to think.
Well, and I think that brings, like, so much peace. Mm. Like we're going back to that, how often we ask for, like, peace. But, you know, like, I think hatred from the world is
right.
an example of that and makes that really evident.
I think, yeah, that's a good point. And also, like, well, I remember back in high school, people would get mad at me for some of the views I had. But I feel like that's a different type of pain. Like, I guess when you think of pain now, like, internal pain is a lot harder to deal with than external pain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if someone's hating on you, you could be like, all right, they hate me, but, you know, like, but if you don't like yourself, dude, that's heavy. Like, yeah. Imagine, like, if someone's persecuting you, that's external pain. You can deal with that. Like, you and God, like, you guys got that. But imagine if you don't do anything, and 10 years down the line, you have that internal pain of not speaking up when you should have. Mm. Like, that's worse. Like, that's way yeah. harder. Like, to know at the, like, imagine, like, you go to heaven and there's someone, like, I mean, not saying you're going to be jealous, but imagine that one person who's, like Steven. Imagine you pull up and you pull a chair up, you know, you're eating breakfast, and she's the guy who got stoned to death. And you're like, dang, like, shoot, dog, did I do enough? Like, this guy over here got yeah. straight up murked. And
yeah.
I wouldn't put a sticker up on my windshield because I didn't want people getting mad at me. You know what I mean? Like, that regret is a lot harder yeah. to deal with than someone actually hating on you.
Hmm.
So, and also a lot of that pain, like, I know in eighth grade, or like, I don't even know, seventh grade, I had this wave of this idea that I was the coolest kid on the block and I could live life on my own. Bro, if you put eighth grade me in my seat right now, bro, whew, dude, I would mess up so much. And like, that pain, and like, this is not necessarily like persecution pain, but the pain of like going through each and every day, that builds your character and that builds like perseverance yeah. and your faith and your hope in God.
Yeah.
And imagine if you like never did that, then yeah. would you be able to handle what you're handling today? You know, probably mm-hmm. not. And if you could, you would definitely be struggling a lot more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like, there's different types of pain, but yeah. But anyways, all to say, get hated on, y'all.
It's basically like you're saying, like, when we think of like praying to God, and we sometimes we're on the mountaintops, sometimes we're in the valleys,
mm-hmm.
but where do we find God where he's the closest is in the valleys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like you were saying about pain, sometimes we look at pain as always a negative thing, and although it hurts either emotionally or physically,
mm-hmm.
but like you said, it builds our character. It builds who we are. Like, we look back and we say, like, all the mistakes we made, we're like, that pain is actually showing me what not to do. That pain in the past is actually making me a better person.
Mm-hmm.
It's making me somebody who is attempting to be a man of God, that's attempting to be a man that is different than what the society wants, and be more godly, and never going to be perfectly godly until we enter heaven, but just trying to strive and be better, like our rebel, like the rebel conference, like, don't be perfect, don't be better, don't be best, but be better, yeah. something like that. I don't know what.
It's, yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Why do you think we run from pain so much?
Mm.
I mean, obviously there's a reason, but why do you think we do? Like, especially nowadays.
Why do we run from pain? Hmm.
It's kind of like what Clark was saying about Paul, like, why do I do the things I don't want to do? And it's because we care about ourselves more.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we pretty much spit in Jesus's face every day.
Mm. I think we're afraid of pain because we're embarrassed. Do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what other people think? Because that's a lot of the time we would think, like, what do they think?
Yeah.
Not what does God think?
I think it's because we don't really, like, whenever you think about what God thinks, it's kind of between you and God, but what people think of you is more external, and you can, like, you feel like you can, like, figure out your situation with God later, but people being mad at you is more, like, upfront, in your face,
yeah.
more of pain, you know what I mean? And I feel like that's maybe why, but...
I think, yeah, sometimes we can't see God, but, like you're saying, like, because we can see people, and we can see their faces and reactions, mm-hmm. that gives us a little bit more...
immediate, like, consequence.
Like, okay, I'll be over here in the corner.
Yeah,
I'll be not over here, so.
And we care a lot what people yeah. think of us.
Yeah,
we do.
And I don't think it's necessarily also a bad thing, but I don't think it can. I think a lot of times it's taken in a bad way.
And I think pain can also bring about, like we were going back to that, like, endurance. Like, I think it also brings about, like, when it comes to, like, a group of friends, like, just a mm-hmm. small group of friends. if you go through pain together, you're going to grow stronger together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Shout out to anyone who has been at Sachs since middle school, because in sixth grade, we had to memorize James 1 and James 2. And I'm so thankful that I don't remember it anymore. I wish I did remember all of it. But what I do remember is in verses 2 through 3, it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." And yep. Then verse 4, "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing."
Yeah.
And like, that is just the perfect antidote to being like embarrassed or afraid of pain, I think.
Yeah.
And why we run from it. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is true.
I think a lot of it comes down to pride too. Like, you can be really prideful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, the weird thing about pride is like, it's not like capacity based. It's more of like relevance based.
Yeah.
And like, in like the book Mere Christianity, it was talking about like pride doesn't sorry, I saw a butterfly. Pride doesn't, it's not like if you have enough, it's more that like, am I clever, like, at the end? Am I richer? Am I smarter? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't matter if what you have is enough. It's not capacity-based, it's relevance-based. Do I have more than the person next to me? And so you will never be satisfied, because there's always going to be someone who has more than you. And being a pride kind of standpoint is, it doesn't matter what you have is. Like, maybe you have what you need is enough, and we do have what we need, because we already have everything we need for living a godly life.
Yeah.
But pride is, what can I get that's more than theirs? Because if everyone had less than you, then you're fine. Like, you feel, you're like, oh, I have more than everyone else.
Right.
But what you have might be enough for you, but you don't care about that. You just want to be better than the next person. And that can kind of go into what people think of you, is because you just want to be cooler than the next guy.
Because what's in the middle of pride? I.
Woo. And what's in the middle of sin?
I. Oh.
All sin stems from pride, I think.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
That's what Lucifer felt, right? He wanted to be better than God.
Think about every single sin. Obviously, we don't remember every single sin. Thank you, Jesus. But, like, the times you can remember where you fell short, like, were you caring about yourself
mm-hmm.
more than Jesus, more than others?
Yeah.
Because, like, if loving God is loving others,
yeah,
then when we care about ourselves more than others, like...
You're not doing that.
Pretty much... Not loving God.
yeah, pretty much.
And it's hard to care, to value other people, you value others more than yourself. That's very hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me.
Because, like, you feel your physical pain, but, and you can also kind of, like, I do this, like, I'm not, like, I kind of fall into that where it's, like, I want this for myself, or I could give it to someone else, but I'm concerned, like, I would think and try to convince myself that if I were to give it to that person, they wouldn't appreciate it as much as I would. Mm-hmm. And so I try to convince myself that I should keep it for myself.
Dang.
But that's not necessarily a good way of thinking. You know what I mean? Like, the Bible does say don't cast pearls to pigs. So don't, like, give... Like, if you have valuable time on your time, like, if you have... Everyone has time, right? And it's, like, very valuable. If you throw it to people who don't care about it, obviously, that's not a good, like, way of investing your time.
Right.
But, and I'm, like, convicted of myself. Like, convicting myself as I say this is, like, don't, like, convince yourself that you're making a bad investment so you can spend it on yourself. You know what I mean? And I do that a lot. And it sucks. It's not good to do.
If we were... We typically end off each episode. What is, like, a takeaway for you guys?
Be hated more? Be hated more podcast?
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I don't know how many people there. Maybe people
No one would tune in.
Oh, wow.
To Be Hated More podcast.
You know what? We probably would get flagged for just that title.
Yeah, we probably would.
Yeah, probably would. I'd say, like, ditto, really. Mm. Like... Mm.
Jack, when Jack said that, it hit me too. It was,
you know,
like, am I being,
you know, I know this is ridiculous, but I'm gonna go with that too. Yeah. because that is just something that we just are not used to ask for pain, to ask for hatred. And believe it or not, that hatred shows how much we actually love Jesus, how much we're actually following him.
Yeah.
It will bear fruit. People see the fruit, and people just don't like the fruit.
So yeah,
people just don't like good fruit.
Just crazy. It's crazy to think about. This is a good podcast.
Yeah,
dude.
Thank you all so much for joining in. Man, this was a amazing conversation. Thank you so much for joining in, man. I am so blessed to have these two with me.
Boy Clark. Boy Jack.
Blessed by this guy. Come on.
Yeah.
Shout out to Clark.
Dude, talk about his steadfastness. He's been doing this for like 4 or 5 years.
For
so
a minute.
Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe down below. Follow
ring, us. Ring the bell, turn ring on the bell.
And if you're listening to the podcast, like, tune in, turn on, the, like, follow us.
Come on.
Wherever you're listening.
TGH Ministries.
Gospel House.
Gospel House. Yes, that's right. So, my name is Clark from Gospel House Ministries.
I am Jack Wilcox.
I'm Josh. Joshua Matthews. Go Birds, UTSA. What's up?
Clark Hunt. There you go. So, thank you guys so much for watching or listening. My name is Clark. This is Jack. This is Josh. And we'll see you next time on Disney Channel.
Okay. The little thing you do.
Oh, yeah.
Is he a right or left? He goes left.